We're now being joined by Helly, who is the General Manager of Coalition for the Protection of Racehorses. Helly, it's so good to have you joining us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, absolutely wonderful to talk to you. And I've just been, really looking forward to this interview, actually. And I really wish we didn't need to have this interview at the same time, as lovely as it is to talk to you. But can you tell us and tell our listeners a little bit about the Coalition for the Protection of Racehorses and how you came to be involved?
Yeah, absolutely. The coalition started out in 2008, where our campaign director, Elio Cilotto, came across a yard outside a knackery in a rural area that was just filled with racehorses that were waiting to be slaughtered. And it occurred to him that even though this is such a massive industry in Australia, there was no groups really dedicated to advocating for these animals. So that's how it started out. And since we've been investigating and exposing the cruelty of the racing industry, we do a lot of work to lobby for change. We try as hard as we can to create awareness, not just with the public, but also politically, and try to just communicate with authorities and industry people on how we can make a positive change for these animals.
Yeah, and it's such immensely important work. And can you just give a little overview of some of the issues? Like, what are these poor horses experiencing as a result of racing?
Yeah, well, I need several hours to go through that. Well, yeah. I suppose we can start with the issue of wastage, as the industry calls it, because it is probably the worst issue that the industry acknowledges as well. The thing is, this industry is utterly unsustainable. They rely on breeding an excess amount of horses in order to find those few that has the ability to do well on the racetrack. And then all their horses live to be around 25 years of age. They only use the horses for a short period of time, and then they rely on other people to take them on when they're done on the racetrack. And as you can imagine, that math just doesn't add up if we're adding an extra 10,000 horses a year to the equestrian market. The homes are simply not out there. And obviously we have the horses that never make it onto the racetrack in the first place. And we don't have any transparency into where these horses end up. So we've got a massive oversupply of horses, unfortunately. None of them have done anything wrong. There's simply just not homes enough for them. I'd say, a part of a bigger issue of having animals in profit-driven industries. Welfare will always come second, and it doesn't matter how nice the trainers are or how much they love their horses. The fact of the matter is, they have paychecks that needs to be paid. They have rent to pay, and you simply can't run a business if you want to do right by these animals. It's like any other business that involves animals, and it's really sad. And if you keep in mind that this is it's not an essential industry that we depend upon to survive. It is purely for human entertainment and gambling purposes that this even exists.
Yeah. God, it's so heartbreaking talking about this. And I think the awful thing is, like, you know, when we're talking about wastage or, you know, animals that can't be homed, I think we can guess what where they end up. And it's awful. It's really awful.
In 2019, we We ended a 2-year investigation into slaughterhouses in Australia, where from that investigation we could estimate that at least 5,000 racehorses a year are killed at slaughterhouses around Australia. And following that exposure that was published by the ABC, then it came out in a documentary that was called The Dark Side of the Horse Racing Industry in Australia. It caused a public outcry because obviously the public didn't like seeing these horses that the industry likes to promote with their names and have them become stars when they're on the racetrack, and then all of a sudden they saw where they actually ended up at the end of their careers. And it made the industry in a few states around the country implement new rules that horses weren't allowed to be sent directly to slaughter. However, that hasn't done much. Now we're seeing middlemen who will buy up horses at auctions and then ship them to slaughter, and we're seeing even more horses that are being killed on site, so they never even go in that direction. It obviously, banning horses from being sent directly to slaughter, it doesn't change the fact that we still need homes for these many horses. And the number has not gone down, sadly. So one of our many campaigns is to try and get a cap on breeding, so that not that many horses will be ending up in these situations.
I wanted to ask you a question slightly off script here, Hayley, and if you don't want to answer it, that's completely fine. But my sort of sense as like someone who, is an animal rights advocate and vegan, and I love horses, love all animals. I guess like one of the things that I've really noticed, and I find it so encouraging, but I'd be curious about if this matches your experience, is just if you've noticed like an increase in like concern for horses, and even like a boycott of horse racing among the general population. Do you feel like there's more support for horses and horse racing?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like just within this last decade, there's two things to it. Firstly, a lot of research has been done into just the nature of horses that's become more common knowledge. Yeah. Australians are like to know things, and when we know better, we do better. That's one of the things, obviously, that we're very happy to see, and we encourage people to learn as much as they can. But also around the spring racing carnival that's coming up, one of our biggest campaigns is our Nut to the Cup campaign that is full rolling at the moment. And for each year, we are getting more and more events set up and more people who participate in them. And I'll just tell you what it's about. We're basically just offering people a meaningful alternative to betting on the races or attending horse races. So show that people can still have a wonderful, good time, dress up with their silly hats if they like to, just without the cruelty. So we party in the cool way. And all across the country, people are setting up events. So you'll be able to attend one, basically almost no matter where you are. So you're not forced to participate in the office stakes or anything like that on the day. And I think it's absolutely wonderful to see so many people just wanting to make it into a day where we celebrate animals, where we have a good time and don't support the cruelty.
Yeah, awesome. Such a brilliant campaign as well. And just the name is just Nut to the Cup. I love it. It just rolls off the tongue. Before we wind up, Hayley, I just wanted to ask, because you sent me this amazing booklet of just like some of the common objections that people raise when we discuss ending horse racing, and just, what some responses can be to that. Did you want to just sort of go over that a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Well, there's quite a few. I think one of the most common ones from the industry is, well, what about the thousands of people who are employed in this industry? If we close it down, what are they going to do? It's just not a valid argument for continuing an industry that is inherently cruel. We can see from history, we used to have slaves, we used to have child labor. Once upon a time, it was legal for teachers to strike kids if they didn't do their homework. And, you know, these things are morally wrong, and we move away from them. Mm. And it's a transition. People in the horse racing industry will also be able to transition away and find a more sustainable way of living that doesn't involve cruelty. And I think that's just important to remember, that it's not an argument for keeping something going that is inherently cruel.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I suppose
another one, if I could just mention that one, one that we hear so often, that hear trainers and owners say, well, these horses are treated like royalty. They live like kings and queens better than we do. Also here, we need to think that that might be right from a human perspective, but not from the animal. Horses like to roam freely in a field with a trusted herd. And they don't see the luxury of having being locked up in a stable, although it's nice and clean. They'd much prefer to roll in the dirt and be with their friends. No matter how many massages or expensive supplements and blankets and whatnot that you put on them that we think is luxurious, it's not luxurious in the eyes of a horse. And I think more and more people understand this. And obviously they are well looked after whilst they are racing. The problem is that they usually, on average, 2 to 3 years they last on the racetrack, then they are no longer of any use to the industry, and then they don't take responsibility for their welfare anymore. So we know how that goes.
Yeah, absolutely. Helly, thank you so much for joining us. And I suppose I was just sort of thinking in a parting comment, just, you know, horses are mammals. We all want, and like all living animals, we want to be free. We want liberation, and we want to be sociable. And horses are no different. It's really essential for their well-being, just as it is for ours. And so, Helly, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a fantastic interview.
Fantastic.
Do you have any...
Cheers, Helly.
Just visit our website, knoptothecup.org.
Awesome.
Find an event so that you can join in on in the movement for kindness over cruelty. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, fabulous. Thank you so much, Helly. Thank you.
Thank you for having me on.
Oh, absolute pleasure.
Bye.
Bye.